connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have each and every day. Let me give you the telephone number in case I forget it, and oftentimes I do. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. After a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in, give your insight, your questions, your thoughts, and comments on the issue of today. The question is, the issue today, should we ban the Bible? I'm going to pause for a moment, let you ponder that. Should we ban the Bible? Listen very carefully. If there were to be a challenge or a question in relationship to the Quran in the public school, there'd be very little, if anything, said. If there'd be a question about should we ban the Quran, which, by the way, you'd never hear the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party discussing. You'd not hear the liberal Marxist media saying anything about it. Would not be discussed at all. But if there's a question, if there's a suggestion, if there's a possibility that we would teach the kids in school the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, oh, listen, you would, according to some commentators and some that suggest it's the end of the world. We're going to destroy the lives and the hearts of our kids. Just heard the news that I've forgotten the state, but some 20 people were shot in another attempt in mass murder, mass killing. Ladies and gentlemen, my comment is, my position is, if we had Bible in the classroom, if we had had teaching morals, ethics, and values from a central biblicist worldview in the classrooms for the past 50 plus years, we would not find the mass killings, the mass shooting. We would not find the high percentage of murders, rapes, and robberies, and other moral, ethical declensions in our nation. It's my most humble opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that the Scripture is very, very correct. The Scripture talks about all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and the instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished, furnished in all good works. I was trying to read through my bifocals, but anyway, the whole point is the Scripture, the Word of God, is to train. In fact, Proverbs 22:6 says to a parent, train up a child in the way he, that's the bent, the leaning, the direction he should go in. Not the direction he wants to go in, but that he should go in, and when he will have become old, he will not have departed from it. Ladies and gentlemen, some recall, I would not just say yesteryear, but yesteryear. Some would recall, if you're nothing else but by history, the days of the Little Red Schoolhouse. That's what it was glibly referred to. One building, one teacher. The teacher volunteering his or her time to teach the children academics and the Word of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, reading and English and morals were taught using the Bible as the textbook. And back then, we did not have this high percentage of robberies and murders and crime in general. Why is that so? Simply put, because children were taught right from wrong. as we call it. Children were taught morals and ethics and values. In fact, I'm still less than 100 years old. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible, the Word of God, is the instruction book for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3:15 and 16. Listen, I can remember the day, the time, the era that I was in public school. Listen, my teacher would stand up a morning in the classroom. The bell would ring, class would be taken in. The teacher would stand and open the Word of God and read the Word of God, explaining the Word of God. And each student had already been given the assignment the previous day, a verse of verses to memorize. Those students were called to the front and would quote the scripture. Then there would be prayer time, assignment of Bible reading for the next day, pledge to the United States flag, and prayer before class began. All of that took place before any academics were started, before any reading, writing, and arithmetic was started. That was the day that I recall. And we can go back, and I would challenge anybody that could prove otherwise, and pull up the statistical data as to the percentage in proportion, the percentage of crimes that were committed, especially by the youngsters today. In fact, several have said down through the years, if you'd allow Bible in the classroom when they're kids, you wouldn't have to have Bibles in the prison when they're locked up. That sounds pretty fantastic, doesn't it? But that's a fact. So that's what we'll be talking about today. We'll invite you to call. We're going to finish just very briefly with our pre-opening monologue and then open our lines. Should the Bible be banned, and more particularly, should it be banned in our schools? It's being bounded about in the Duval County Public Schools now in relationship to that. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you once again, we do so based on the truth book, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Bible says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. John 8:31 and 32. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about Scripture. Thy word is truth. And listen, Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. But yet we have a society today where it's demanding anything but the truth. You find those airheads out in front of the colleges and universities. You find those that are parading in the streets of New York and major cities across America demanding this, that. Listen, I've said before and I'll say it again, it's not necessarily relevant to the issue today. But most of these that are demonstrating are being paid $200 to $300 a day to wave signs. They have no earthly idea what the crowd's about, and everyone in the crowd has a different idea of what they are marching and rioting and demonstrating for. It's been discovered that major, major funded organizations funded by the Soros Group, major funding organizations funding these rioters and these demonstrators, that makes it look as though the whole world, whole nation is coming apart, when in reality we can go back to one common denominator. It is the lack, L-A-C-K, of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. There's a major, major fallacy today that somehow, some way, you can bifurcate truth and still have truth. I'm looking at a major headline, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And this article goes on to say, it's a five-page article, one paragraph simply says, and there is no more serious problem than the notion fashionable in academia today and for decades that the truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge every day on this broadcast, that as Christians, we need to seek the truth. And I don't mean turn the dial to the Communist Network News. I mean seeking the truth, and the Word of God is truth, according to John 17:17. Seek it, learn it, love it, tell it, live it, and be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. With a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, they can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, it's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag, Old Glory, flowing 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the issue today is, should we ban the Bible? Should the Bible be allowed to be taught in public schools? What about Duval County? I've just discovered very recently that Duval County is now dealing with and questioning the potentiality, the possibility of having a Christian group coming in from out of state to set up an organization in Duval County to allow Bible to be taught. But listen, let me give you the truth, the fact of it. The Bible, some folks are all upset saying the Bible's going to be taught in the public schools. Now, that'd be all right with me, and I could give you a whole list today. I'll give you on the broadcast, state after state after state, that's passed legislation to allow the Bible to be taught in public schools. But in Duval County, it's kind of a bifurcation of that. They're talking about having the Bible taught where the school system is in control, in charge with the rules and regulations for it, but it's off campus. It won't even be on the school property. So we're going to talk about the ins and outs, and we're going to talk about the shortfall with that and why it is difficult to have us to understand that why the school board should have a say-so if it's a private Christian organization teaching Bible off campus. That's the question we're going to discuss. I believe we have Marshall on the line. Marshall, go ahead with the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Pastor. Be warned, I want to discuss this issue. I'm speaking with some emotion this morning because I feel the importance of what you're saying and want to discuss is critical to our survival.
Yes.
That said, I'm going to rant for a moment with your permission at the end. You cut it apart if I'm wrong in anything I say, okay?
Okay, go right ahead.
See. All right, so you're warned. I want to say this. And I'm going to speak as a veteran military and commercial pilot, 7 different military airplanes, 15 or 20 different commercial aircraft in all environments all over the country, all over the world, all right? That said, given that foundation, here's what I want to say, that it is an axiom for any human endeavor to succeed, there must be a laser focus on your goal, or in Air Force terms, on your mission. There's no way that I could have flown into Frankfurt, Germany at 11 o'clock in the morning when it was the most busy airport in the world with hundreds of airplanes in the air around me, were I not laser focused, particularly when the weather was 200 and a half, if I were not laser focused on that attitude indicator, that power indicator, airspeed, altitude, and attitude.
That's right.
If we were going to succeed. Now, that may not sound applicable to what you're saying, but here's how it is. The fingerprint of Satan, sir, is subjectivity. Hath God really said, or did he mean this, the question Satan asked to Eve? Questioning. Diffused thought. If we're going to get through life successfully in Satan's domain, we must be focused. What do the Ten Commandments do for us? It focuses as a laser on Father God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You won't make anything with your own hands that you're going to worship. You're not going to take my name in vain. You're going to set aside a day to worship me, and you're going to follow the authority of your parents after me, and if you don't, 5 really bad things are going to happen, like killing and adultery and stealing and lying. And the last one is envy. And pastor, because we're a subjective culture, we're not focused on just the Ten Commandments, not just the Bible. Just we're not focused on the Ten Commandments. We have evolved an envy culture. I want what he's got. I want to live in that great big house, even if I don't earn the right to do it. We must teach in public schools, if nothing else, the Ten Commandments. I had it when I was in school. You had it when you were in school. And good sir, objective discipline is the basis of a civilized culture. That's called law. And the highest law is the law of Creator God, who gave us his word and his laws and the discussion of his marvelous grace in a book called the Bible. That better be the foundation. That better be the foundation. That better be the foundation of America and anything else. We have a slogan, E Pluribus Unum, of many one. That means you take a bunch of people and you focus them on one particular objective. That is the mission. America has a mission. Or we have multiculturalism of one many. We take a nation and we turn it into all these other, well, this idea, they're all, oh, I'm okay, you're okay. No. Everything is predicated on focus on Almighty God. And if we lose that focus, then we end up with a subjective, multicultural attitude that we have now. Hey, I want what you got, so I'm going to take it. And you don't give it to me, I'm going to kill you. We are in trouble because America, I think it was in June 25th of 1962, we turned our back on God and kicked him out of school. I think that's when it was. And I do know that a year later, every major index that we measure in this government for the health of the culture suddenly went south after years of just being the same year to year. Divorces went up, teenage suicides went up, all sorts of dysfunction happened because we no longer could have prayer in public school. And at the same time, when Mrs. Blackwell, my seventh grade teacher, God bless her, would read the Bible to us every day and others. We must have the Bible in public schools. And I would be happy with just every day reciting the Ten Commandments, which focuses on have no other gods before me. Focus on Father God. As a pilot, I can tell you that objective discipline is critical to a successful mission. If you start flying an airplane saying, well, it feels about right, you're going to crash and burn. Your pastor's going with the all right, my rant is finished, but I want to underscore what you said. I don't care what this crazy mayor or anybody else in this city says or anybody else. We must have a foundation in the Word of God. It must be, children must be at least introduced to it. And I repeat this. God said in the Shema of Israel, three things. Love God supremely, right?
Yes.
Know his word. These words I command you, they should be in your heart. You should teach them diligently to your children. And thirdly, you shall teach them diligent to your children, what I just said. Schools introduce it, but it's up to the daddies to teach their children. All right, I'm done.
Absolutely. Let me ask you a question while I have you, Marshall, right, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
The rant, generally speaking, in every state that has attempted to put Bible in the classroom, and I've got a list of several dozen states that have done so. Some have been successful and some have not. And before I ask the question, I'll preface it with this. In 2018, Kimberly McDaniel, or Kimberly Daniels, that happened to be a Christian Democrat, had the legislation passed and signed into law in the state of Florida in 2018 that says in every school, over the schoolhouse door should be the motto, In God We Trust. That's never been enforced. It's never been integrated into the system at all. It's been ignored. In 2019, there's an attempt to have a legislation passed that would make the Bible legal in every classroom, not to be taught denominationally, but simply as a historical document, what the Bible says. That was overridden by our legislators because it might offend somebody. And yet we have now in as of this moment, I'm looking at the headline, Christian Education Group planning Bible classes for Duval County students during school time. An Ohio-based Christian nonprofit is preparing to launch Bible classes for public school students in Duval County, raising concerns among some local faith leaders about the separation of church and state. And I could go on. It's called LifeWise Academy. Has already operated in more than 30 states with thousands of participating schools, et cetera, et cetera. But the bottom line is, Marshall, this organization doesn't come into the classroom and teach the Bible. It is while students can be taken off the campus on what's called release time, when there would be a class that would be an elective class that they can take on campus. They're to be picked up, taken off campus into a private setting and taught the Bible. And yet Duval County school system is wanting to have authority on what's taught, where it's taught, who can go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So my question to you is, should we, as Christians, as parents, as grandparents, should we allow this to take place? Is it okay to do that? Should the school board have say-so over it? What are the ramifications? And the hue and cry against it, in any fashion, is that we have a wall of separation of church and state. Number one, Marshall, do we have a wall of separation of church and state on a religious basis? And is there a rationale behind the school board thinking that they need to control what's taught, when it's taught, where it's taught, if it is not on the school campus?
Is that the end of the question?
That's it.
Okay, well, let's talk about Thomas Jefferson first.
Yes.
He's a hero to some people. Thomas Jefferson was a knucklehead. Thomas Jefferson wrote his own version of the Bible, and he's the guy in the letter who came up with the idea of separation of church and state. I want to keep things simple. I like Occam's razor. The simplest answer is the best. I don't worry about going out of school and teach another thing. I want to go back to what Kimberly Daniels said. Even though she's a Democrat, she's got a right idea. I know Kimberly. I know her heart. She's got a very interesting story.
Yes.
But I don't worry about the details of creating this course. I want Ten Commandments posted on every wall in every classroom. That's what I want to start with. I don't want to jump to the details. That's fine. We want to do that. That's okay. But I want to go back to the very basic, simple Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Focus on him. No other gods before me. So that we don't get to the envy culture we have today. Hey, I want that because I'm going to take it or I'm going to kill you. If we are not focused on God, we are in trouble as a nation. And we are not focused on God. The fingerprint of Satan is subjective thought. Hath God said? No, I don't start there. I start with the Creator made me. He told me to love him and listen to him, and everything flows out of that. And my authority as a father mirrors his authority as God, and my job is to teach that to my children. I say, simply put, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments, the Ten Commandments, on every school wall and recite them every morning. That's all we need. The rest, that's fine. I'm okay with what you posited. But we're jumping too far ahead. We've got to go back to the foundation.
Absolutely.
You cannot understand calculus unless you understand basic addition. Mm-hmm. And you can't fly an airplane successfully at the busiest airport in the world in bad weather unless you're focused on two things, your attitude and your airspeed. If you don't, you're going to die.
Attitude, the old cliche in piloting, attitude determines the altitude.
You got it. You're absolutely right.
Absolutely. Marshall, listen, brother, thank you for taking a moment to call and join the discussion today. Keep praying, keep looking up. As I say every day on this broadcast, our redemption draweth nigh. So thank you so much.
He's coming back soon, Pastor. He's coming back soon.
I'm ready, brother. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. Have a blessed day. I believe we have James on the line. James, go over the question or comment, please.
Great discussion, Dr. Youngblood. Good show. I'm calling in to just inform some of the listening audience about what you guys were speaking about a little bit with LifeWise Academy and Duval County School Board, which, by the way, anybody listening that wants to get involved and feel like they're standing firm for Jesus, standing on his truths, meet us at Duval County Public School meeting, 1701 Prudential Drive, Tuesday. It's the first Tuesday of every month. So 1701 Prudential Drive, 32207-6. Get there at 5:30 or so, and let's have some fun and speak up for the kids. I agree with your caller, and it's right. Whether you're a sailor or a pilot in an airline, there's certain things. I think I had shared that question with you, or that explanation I got from a racing sailor who'd won trophies all over the world, and he asked me if I knew what VMG was, and I said, no, I don't. And he said, it's velocity made good to the mark. So what we as stewards and watchmen on the wall should tell our families and listeners is we've got to take a stand for these children. So if we can't get Duval County School Board to get some of the smut and filthy books out of the library, and we have to constantly keep after them to do that sort of thing, and to teach them what we'd like, and obviously the Ten Commandments should be in every school, a Bible should be in every classroom. But if we can't do that as quickly as we'd like to and make a change, this is a great option. This group got a Heritage Innovation Prize. It's got great marks. They've got over 100,000 students now in 34 states in America. They use multi-function buildings called churches. So a lot of the pastors say, hey, you know what? Monday through Friday, I've got some places. And what they've started to do is, any of you wives, husbands, or family members that think that it's a good idea to teach your kid the Bible, we'll come and pick them up. It's a dollar a day. It's a $30 per month donation for a child, and you can sign up at lifewise.org. And what they do is teach the Bible, and they teach biblical principles. And some kids are going to, for the first time, hear the gospel. And how amazing is that, that we have that opportunity? So it's an Ohio-based Christian nonprofit. And again, this program is protected. Duval County is not going to win this argument. Citizens Defending Freedom and the people that have the money and the attorneys are going to go to bat if they've got to. But my advice is, don't trust the school board. Come to the meetings once a month. If you can't make one, great. But stand up for it, because there's only a little, as the Bible says, a remnant that's making a difference. And we all need to be part of that small remnant. And we know the truth. What's 1 Corinthians 13:14? I think it's, be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men and women. The Moms for Liberty have been incredible. Be strong, let all that you do be done in love. So I'm not saying we go down there and scream and yell and threaten or do this or that. We come in love and peace, but we come strong with the Word of God, and we stand firm. And what do they call it? Isaiah is almost another gospel, right?
Yes.
Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, in Isaiah 41:10. And I would tell you that this is the sort of thing that our pastors, and I say this to you every time I talk to you, you're a champion, and I know you're too humble to take that because you're just doing it for Jesus. And you go back to the basic principle. It's all for the glory of God. If you can intervene and keep children from getting hurt, why wouldn't you do that? If you can stop childhood sex trafficking and horrific things in our own backyard, why wouldn't you do that? Of course you would. If you could intervene on a child that needs to get out of a classroom that's being forced to watch a SpongeBob movie as an elective class, and teach them some of the Bible principles that they need to know that they'll take for the rest of their life and guide them. I mean, what does Micah 6:8 says? He has told us, oh man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of us? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. Some of these kids have no idea what the love of Christ looks like and feels like and acts like. And the godly men and women of this city of Jacksonville, and I praise God for people like my buddy Ron Armstrong, who's standing up. He's got no political history, but he owns a business and he has a not-for-profit, and he has a wonderful testimony. A lot of people think he doesn't have a chance. You know what? A lot of people thought Jesus didn't have a chance. They didn't think his ragtag team of a dozen disciples had a chance. But you know what? The power of the Holy Spirit overtook a room in Acts, and then those people were empowered and acted with the help of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can stand up to the power of God.
Absolutely. Absolutely. James, listen, we've got to take a break for the top of the hour news, but I'd love to ask you to hold over until after the news. I've got two or three very serious questions to ask in reference to the LifeWise Academy and what they're doing. And secondly, one of the articles that I read said that some of the clergy in Jacksonville are against it, but they name only one. We're going to talk about that female clergy and the background and get your take and thoughts on it. Could you hold on for a moment? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, WAYL.